Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, July 31st, 2020. We'll start today's reading on the front page with education, another perspective. Students find common ground talking about race. Decatur. Kaberi Mohammed and Kareem Williams have several things in common. His father was born in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Williams's parents were born in Jamaica. Both work for Decatur Public Schools. Mohammed is a secretary at the Montessori Academy for Peace. Williams teaches band and orchestra at Dennis School. They also have differences. Mohammed is biracial. Her mother is white. Williams is a first-generation American whose parents and older siblings immigrated from Jamaica before he was born. They're moderating a new middle school book club through the Decatur Public Library focused on conversations about race. The first book, Harbor Me, by Jacqueline Woodson, was the topic on Wednesday with the children attending via video conference. We found a book that kind of covers people who are the same age as people reading it, but we're hoping that can kind of open up a conversation, so instead of being scared about having these conversations, you can be more comfortable about talking about these things without being worried that you're going to be judged or anything like that, Mohammed said. Mohammed said she's super-duper vocal about civil rights and social justice. She's been a regular patron of the library since she was small, and is an avid reader. I think people forget that, yes, it's hard to talk about hard things with children, but those conversations are super duper important still, she said. Those conversations are important, and I think that implementing a conversation about a book that we can all sort of relate to, identify with, because in this book there are lots of characters that kids can say, I know someone like this, or I went through this myself, and they can see they're not alone in their struggles or experiences. Susan Bishop, a library assistant in the children's department, said word was sent out to teachers in June to alert their students to the formation of the middle school book club, and she didn't know what to expect for response. At that point, the library was still closed to the public. She was pleasantly surprised that 10 children signed up for Wednesday's discussion and is hopeful that even more will sign up for the next one in September. The book for that discussion has not been chosen yet, though she has a couple of candidates. Mohammed and Williams will again host the discussion, and if enough kids sign up, they might schedule more than one discussion to ensure that all the kids who want to talk will be able to. Registration will be available through the library's Facebook page and website. Now that the library is open again, Bishop said, posters and flyers on the walls might get the word out as well as social media. Woodson also wrote Brown Girl Dreaming and Isn't Afraid to Tackle Difficult Subjects, Mohammed said. I believe they chose me to be here because of being African American. A lot of the students are also African American and Latino, Williams said. He grew up in Waukegan, which has a large Latino population. This book reminded me a lot of things I've encountered with my friends. The forum comes amid a national conversation about race following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. The key to having these difficult conversations, Mohammed said, is to ask questions. If you're already friends, that should help. If you're asking questions, you're not just making assumptions, she said. For example, if your friend said she feels uncomfortable in a situation, don't dismiss that feeling. Accept and ask how you can help and find out why your friend is uncomfortable. Asking, why do you feel this way and what can I do? Another thing to remember, Williams added, is to listen and to actually hear what the other person is saying. Share your experiences, he said. If someone's upset and they start to share their experiences, listen and empathize. Once you hear someone's experiences, you get another perspective on life. Though the kids were a bit reluctant to talk at first, they soon opened up with the encouragement of Melamed and Williams. I learned the importance of listening to others and hearing their stories, said Ali Eligier. I realized the privilege we, white people, have. It's definitely with us as much as we don't want it to be, unfortunately. And the pictures that accompany this article show Kareem Williams, left from the back, and Kebedi Melamed leading a group discussion on Wednesday at the Decatur Public Library. And the group is a Zoom screen enlarged in front of them. And the photo on the front page shows middle school July book club leaders Kebedi Melamed, left, and then Kareem Williams, and this is from the side for both of them, leading a group discussion Wednesday in the Madden Auditorium at the Decatur Public Library. The group discussed the book Harbor Me by Jacqueline Woodson. In state news, General Assembly calls for resignation grow. Three more House Democrats ask Madigan to step down. Springfield. Cracks are beginning to show in the House Democratic caucus that Michael Madigan has overseen as Speaker for all but 2 years since 1983. Three more members of that caucus called for Madigan to resign this week, at least as House Speaker and Chair of the state's Democratic Party. They join another Democratic representative and three senators, all women, and a number of high-profile Republicans in calling for Madigan's resignation from at least one of his leadership positions. A Madigan spokesperson declined to comment Thursday on Capitol News Illinois questions as to whether Madigan was considering the request. The latest calls for the speaker's recognition come nearly 2 weeks after he was implicated in a bribery scheme relating to utility giant Commonwealth Edison. In a court document, ComEd admitted to handing out benefits such as lobbying jobs and subcontracts to close associates of the Illinois House Speaker in an effort to gain support for legislation benefiting the company. Madigan has not been charged with any crime and has denied wrongdoing. State Representative Ann Stava Murray, a Naperville Democrat, was the only member of the House Democratic Caucus who had called for his resignation before this week. She was also the only Democrat who did not vote for Madigan as Speaker at the beginning of this session of the General Assembly. This week, State Representatives Tara Costa Howard, Democrat of Glen Ellyn, and Stephanie Kefowit, Democrat of Oswego, added their names to the growing list seeking Madigan's resignation. Others have called for the speaker to resign if the allegations in the ComEd court document are true. Howard, in a statement Wednesday, called for Madigan's resignation as speaker and party chair. The sworn statements in the U.S. Attorney's agreement with the Commonwealth Edison detail years-long scheme of payoffs and bribery involving many of Speaker Madigan's closest allies. Even if he was not directly involved in this scheme, these accusations clearly demonstrate that the Speaker's leadership has failed, she said in a statement. Speaker Madigan has a duty to recognize that these allegations have cast a deep shadow on the reputation of our House. He must take action now to avoid inflicting further damage on members of the House and the Democratic Party. While she said Madigan has not been charged and is entitled to the presumption of innocence and due process, his ties to the investigation make it impossible for Representative Madigan to continue in his leadership roles. I hope he will do the honorable thing and step down, she said. On Thursday morning, Kifowit tweeted that she electronically delivered a letter to the speaker requesting he step down. I wrote this letter as a legislator who voted for you for speaker in the past, Kifowit wrote. The reality is that each time, the vote I made for you was carefully considered. I voted with the view that you would respect and honor the leadership position of the Speaker of the House. But in light of the ComEd document, Kifowit said it was clear that Madigan, or at least those he empowered in his inner circle, did not hold the respect and dignity of the institution of the State House, Illinois State House, and the General Assembly as a whole. The actions described in the U.S. Attorney's deferred prosecution agreement by ComEd show that you have compromised the integrity of the office of Speaker of the House and undermined the public trust, she said. Therefore, I demand you do the right thing and step down immediately as Speaker of the House. In the event that you do not, and if you choose to seek nomination to this position again, I will vote against said nomination and will not vote for you should your nomination be successful. Hours after Kifowit's letter, Representative Kelly Cassidy, Democrat of Chicago, joined her colleagues in calling for the speaker to resign from his leadership roles. I have long been an outspoken critic of Speaker Madigan, but I always stopped short of calling for his resignation, deferring to many of my colleagues' concerns about due process, she said in a statement. As a leader on criminal justice reform, I feel strongly about the principles of innocent until proven guilty and the right to due process. I also believe leadership must be held to a higher standard, and it is clear that the constant drip of corruption stories will interfere with our ability to advance a progressive agenda. Whether these investigations ultimately implicate him or continue to pick away at his inner circle, the damage is done, she said. Earlier in the week, prominent Democrat Senator Heather Steens of Chicago called on Madigan to resign those two positions as well. Some will argue that the speaker is innocent until charges are filed and he's proven guilty, but those are not the standards that should apply to his leadership role. Serving a speaker is not a right, it's a privilege. A leader's actions must avoid even the perception of wrongdoing. Speaker Madigan repeatedly has violated that trust, she wrote in a statement. Senator Melinda Bush, Democrat of Grays Lake, called for his resignation to both those positions as a member of the General Assembly shortly after the ComEd news broke as well. Senator Iris Martinez, Democrat of Chicago, has called for Madigan's resignation as party chairman. Republicans have been steadily beating the drum on the ethics issue since the news broke, with Illinois House Republican leader Jim Durkin taking a stronger stance Thursday than he had previously. After reviewing the facts contained in the ComEd deferred prosecution agreement, it is abundantly clear that Michael J. Madigan is unable to execute his responsibilities as Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives and as State Representative for the 22nd House District, Durkin said in a statement. I call for the immediate resignation of Speaker Madigan from the Illinois House of Representatives and will be filing a resolution to have the House chamber vote on a new speaker immediately, he wrote. And the photo accompanying this article shows House Speaker Mike Madigan, a Chicago Democrat, pictured speaking to graduate students at the University of Illinois Springfield Public Affairs Reporting Program last year at the State House. Three more members of Madigan's House Democratic Caucus have called on him to resign this week. In more local and state news on page A3, there's a large photograph showing unexpected turn. A car that crashed into a building in the 1200 block of East Central Street is being removed Thursday. The building housed a mattress business, a grocery store, and the shoe store over the years. In the 1930s, the Spanish Inn Dance Hall occupied the corner, and the building looks like it's fairly demolished, and this car is being towed up onto a ramp of a towing truck. Coronavirus, Illinois. Pritzker, we have to act responsibly. Governor warns of rules in places with surge in cases. Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Thursday traveled to two of the four counties in Illinois that are now in danger of having to reimpose economic restrictions because of rising COVID-19 numbers, warning that bars, restaurants, and other businesses could be forced to close again if people don't follow the public health guidelines. As much as I'd like to, this virus isn't something that we can wish away, Pritzker said at an event in Peoria. So we have to act responsibly and collectively to protect the people that we love. In all 102 counties in Illinois are currently in phase 4 of the reopening plan, which means businesses are allowed to operate within public health guidelines, such as capacity limits and face mask requirements, and gatherings of up to 50 people are allowed. Individual regions, however, can be forced to reimpose several restrictions seen in previous phases of the reopening plan if they show increasing positivity rates for 7 out of 10 days and they have a 7-day sustained increase in hospital admissions for COVID-19 or a decrease to 20% capacity of intensive care unit beds. The four counties currently in danger of reaching those metrics are Adams, LaSalle, Peoria, and Randolph. Both Peoria and LaSalle counties are in Region 2 of the state's virus mitigation plan. Within that region, there have already been 7 straight days of rising positivity rates and 3 straight days of rising hospitalizations. Pritzker said the sources of the rising infection rates in Region 2 appear to be from shopping in big box retail stores, house parties, and workplaces. If hospitalizations in the region continue to rise for 4 more days, Pritzker said the region will see increased restrictions, which may be tailored locally around the sources of the increased spread. Statewide, the Illinois Department of Public Health reported Thursday that it had confirmed 1,772 new cases of COVID-19 over the previous 24 hours, the highest single-day total since April 23rd, as well as 18 confirmed virus-related deaths. That brings the total since the pandemic first hit Illinois to 176,896 cases and 7,478 deaths. Those new cases came from 41,134 test results that were received over the day for a single-day positivity rate of 4.3%, an increase of 0.5 percentage point from the previous day. The state's 7-day rolling average positivity rate held steady at 3.8%. As of Wednesday night, 1,452 people in Illinois were hospitalized with COVID-19. Of those, 353 patients were in intensive care units, including 149 patients on ventilators. Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Labor reported numbers Thursday that show the pandemic is continuing to wreak havoc on the state and national economies. In Illinois, there were 32,465 new unemployment claims and 644,903 workers receiving continuing benefits, both slight decreases from the prior week, but still at historically high levels. Meanwhile, the Business of Economic Analysis, an agency within the Department of Labor, reported that the country's gross domestic product, a general measure of the size of the economy, shrank from the second quarter of an annual rate of 32.9%, the sharpest single quarter contraction ever recorded. State data will not be available. State level data will not be available until October 2nd. Coronavirus, Central Illinois counties, 9 new cases each in Macon, Shelby, Decatur. Shelby and Macon counties have reported 9 new cases of COVID-19, health officials announced Thursday. In Macon County, there have been 424 positive cases to date. Of those, 251 have been released from home isolation, and 145 are recovering at home. 4 patients are in the hospital, and 24 residents have died. In Shelby County, there have been 55 positive cases. The new cases announced Thursday involved individuals between the ages of 25 and 85 years old. Officials from the respective health departments urged residents to practice social distancing, wear a face covering, and to thoroughly wash hands to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Woman facing domestic battery charge, Decatur. A 29-year-old Decatur woman was arrested after she became enraged by her fiancé's negative remarks about her mother and retaliated by beating the victim before throwing an ashtray at him, according to a police report. A sworn affidavit from the Macon County Sheriff's Office said the attack happened Saturday and deputies found and arrested the woman early Wednesday. She was booked on a preliminary charge of domestic battery. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. Writing in the affidavit, Deputy Matthew Helfer said the 34-year-old fiancé, who had been engaged to the woman for 7 years, said they often have verbal arguments that turn physical. He said he'd been sitting in the living room chatting and drinking with his cousin when the conversation turned to a critique of his fiancée's mother and several other members of her family. He stated that his fiancée became upset with him and struck him several times with her hands before throwing an ashtray at him, said Helfer. The ashtray struck him in the face. Officers observed several small lacerations and large welts to the right side of his face and above his forehead. Macon County jail records show the woman is free after posting $100 bond on bail of $1,000. Prosecutors had asked for $3,000. Her bail conditions state she must have no contact with her fiancé. Man looks ready to change plea. Decatur. Gary L. Boyle, incarcerated in the Macon County Jail awaiting the formal imposition of a 40-year prison sentence for child rape, looks ready to cut a deal with federal prosecutors over additional charges involving child pornography and sexual exploitation. Boyle appeared by video conference before U.S. Magistrate Judge Eric I. Long on Thursday. His defense attorney, Elizabeth Pollock, told the judge that Boyle is scheduled to be resentenced on the rape charge September 2nd, having entered a guilty plea as part of the plea deal in Macon County Circuit Court Tuesday. Pollock said that once the sentencing is out of the way on the conviction in the state charge, we will be able to schedule a change of plea, plea hearing in the case. Boyle, 35, has so far pleaded not guilty to federal charges that include 1 count of possession of child pornography and 7 counts of child sexual exploitation. He had been arrested February 21, 2019, after his Harristown home had been raided by the Macon County Sheriff's Office, acting on information passed on by the Department of Homeland Security. Evidence presented in Macon County Circuit Court, said that Boyle made child porn movies, and he was part of a ring of offenders who shared pornographic images and videos. Special Prosecutor Kate Kurtz said that Boyle raped and repeatedly sexually assaulted a girl under the age of 13 and filmed the crimes. The federal charges carry maximum sentences of 30 years on each exploitation charge and 10 years on the child porn possession offense. Prosecuting in the federal case Thursday, Assistant U.S. Attorney Ellie M. Pearson told the judge the issue now was having Boyle dealt with on the federal charges before he disappears into the state prison system, and a legal writ process is needed to bring him back to court. After some discussion between Pearson, Pollock, and Long, it was agreed to coordinate with the Macon County Court to ease Boyle's transfer to federal custody as quickly as possible. The judge scheduled a hearing conference for November 2nd and said the court would work the Boyle case into the calendar as soon as it was ready. I do want to give the defendant an opportunity to negotiate a favorable resolution to his case and to make sure everything is done in accordance with his understanding of an agreement, Long added. Federal sentences can be set to run consecutively or concurrently with state sentences. Reviewing similar cases reveals that sentences are more likely to be ordered to run concurrently if an offender pleads guilty. YMCA backpack attack planned. The annual YMCA backpack attack event, which provides school supplies to students in kindergarten through sixth grade, will be held Saturday, August 1st at the Decatur Family YMCA. This year's event will be different in that it will be drive-through only because of coronavirus restrictions. Past events have included a host of events inside and outside the Y building at 220 West McKinley Avenue. There will be 2,100 backpacks filled with grade-specific school supplies beginning at 9 a.m. It is scheduled to run through 1 p.m. or until all the backpacks have been distributed. Recipients are required to stay in their vehicles, and a parent or guardian will need to be present with the children to receive a free backpack. City of Praise offers meal event, Decatur. City of Praise Church and Millennium Resource Community Development Corporation will offer a grab-and-go meal for 251 residents noon to 2 p.m. Saturday, August 8th at the church at 1415 North Edward Street. Again, that's 1415 North Edward Street. The event is in honor of Overseer F. Todd McClellan's 51st birthday, and it's first come, first served. For information, call 217-428-8988. Again, that's 428-8988. History Corner, a look back. The photograph is from 1947, and it shows the addition of his outdoor patio for ice cream devotees has increased seating facilities at Carl Gulterman's retail outlet at 10 North Fairview Avenue. It is bordered on two sides by rock gardens and accommodates 72 patrons at one time. Paved with asphalt, the patio has all-weather flooring. It looks very inviting from 1947. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated July 31st, 2020. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.